Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, everybody, we're off and running here on Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Call in number tonight, 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. I am looking for your take on the Austin FC LA Galaxy game and how you're feeling now at 2-3. 10th in the West. Personally, I say don't panic. A lot of positives. And there were positives in this game as well that I'm going to bring out. And we'll do some critical analysis here tonight of the Galaxy-Austin FC match. If you want to help me here in segment one, again, it's 512-447-3776. We will also have on the coach of the Austin Bold. Bold went down 3-1 at New Mexico. Big crowd there, by the way. 3-1 in that. Marcelo Serrano will join us here as they started on the road. It is 1-1 between Santa Clara and Florida State here in overtime in the NCAA National Championship match. To follow will be Marshall getting set to take on Indiana, who's probably going to be the favorite in that, but it would be really cool to see Marshall do well. That program, Indiana's been a dominant one and the most dominant one in NCAA college soccer in history. All right, the one thing that really caught my attention this weekend, and by the way, I included it in a thing called Burning Topics. If you go to Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Burning Topics is presented by Cactus Music, and there's a little bit of a mix of rock and roll there, but it's basically quick hits on some things that appealed to me over the weekend. And one of them is the goalkeeper, Alisson, who came forward on a corner, headed home for Liverpool, has kept them alive now in their fight to get in either third or fourth place and get that Champions League money. But it was a very emotional moment because Alisson, the goalkeeper, had lost his father in recent times. Here is Alisson post-match after scoring that header that has kept Liverpool alive.
I'm too emotional this last month for everything that happened with me, with my family. But football is my life. I play since I remember as a human being with my father. I hope he was here to see it, but I'm sure that he's seeing with the God on his side and celebrating. It's for my family, for the boys. What a fight. Sometimes we are fighting, and things just are not happening. As this afternoon here, and just scoring this goal, I'm really, really happy to help them because they fight a lot. We fight a lot together, and we have a strong goal to achieve the Champions League because we won it once, and you know that everything starts with a qualification. So I can't be more happy than I am now.
So Alisson comes forward in stoppage time. The value of that goal now in their potential, and in the third segment tonight, we'll get into the races in La Liga, the chase for 3 and 4 and those Champions League spots in the Premier League. We will also get into what's happening in French League One, which is also pretty dramatic as well. So we have a lot of drama that's going to take place this week as seasons are going to end. We already know who the teams that are being relegated in the Premier League are. So we'll talk about that in segment three. Segment two, we'll go Marcelo Serrano of the Austin Bold. And then we will continue in this first segment. And hopefully we'll get some calls from some of you very ardent fans out there at 512-447-3776 on the Austin FC LA Galaxy game. Or you can call in on the Bold as well. But Alisson, you know, sending goalkeepers forward is one of the most exciting things, I think, in soccer. It truly is a chaotic moment. It's a fun moment. They're not necessarily thrown forward to ultimately score the goals, but they are thrown forward to create a little bit of chaos. And that's what happened. And by the way, if you go back and look at it, it's a great header. He's completely unmarked, though. And you would just say that West Bromwich Albion, nobody picked him up. He just kind of waltzes into the box, turns his body, heads it into the side netting. Now, he's good in the air because we have seen him come off his line and head away as a goalkeeper because Alisson plays that position, much like Ederson of Manchester City, off his line as a covering player, a guy capable with his feet, obviously, and a guy capable of, cleaning up things behind high lines. So dramatic moment, but that was very heartfelt to me, that really listening to him talk and looking at his face. And, boy, it just reminds you, life is about ups and downs. There's no such thing as everything going your way, and I think we all know that. It has not gone the way for Austin FC. Got beat 2-0 by LA. Did not look like one of their better performances. They've now conceded 40 shots in two games. Now, the big question going into this was no Alex Ring. And Danny Pereira came into that midfield spot. And by the way, he's a fantastic pickup in the draft. Austin FC gets big marks on him. He jumped out of midfield a couple of times, and I know you saw this in the game, where he runs at the back four. Absolutely love that, because that keeps a back four and an opposing midfield honest. This kid's got a high ceiling. He got moved later in the game into a higher position to try and get him in and around goal by Josh Wolf. They moved Cecilio into center forward. A lot of things that we saw Josh Wolf trying to do to kind of jumpstart his team. Now, to play without Alex Ring, though, I see it as a positive. It was a needed test. At some point, you're going to have to go without him. And you're going to have to go without some of your better players. So doing it without Alex Ring was a little bit different. And it was a setup that, you know, loses some steel, loses direction without him. So it was Stuver in goal, Kolmanic, Beisler, Romagna. Jimenez got the start, went out injured, which was a shame because he seemed to be playing well. The midfield was Fagundes, Pereira, and Pochettino. And then up front it was Dominguez, Husen, and Stroud. And then we had subs come in, the most noteworthy sub, probably Kakuta Mane, who had a chance cutting in on his right. 25th minute, I remember Stroud got in down the right, and I'm just saying, hit it, shoot, hesitated. A little bit of a hesitant game for Jared Stroud. And then Chicharito, minutes, seconds later, makes a little run into midfield, a movement back towards midfield that just pulls Matt Beisler a little bit. Chicharito spins and hits the space. Romagna has to cover Matt now, and Romagna is called for the penalty. But those little darting runs of Chicharito, even if it's 3 or 4 yards to move you or get you off balance, man, that guy is a lean, mean machine now, and that guy is a completely different player than he was when he came into the league initially. Overweight, with a guru, doing a YouTube show. He is more professional now. He's chiseled. He's focused. The things he's saying are professional, and he's got 7 goals to lead Major League Soccer. And he's going to get called up by Mexico again. That's what you think. There's that thing called the World Cup, right? That certainly is a carrot dangled for Chicharito. But the good news is, drop the guru. Okay, the guru, whoever he was, wasn't doing Chicharito many favors. So Chicharito gets denied by Brad Stuver. Fantastic save. I think by watching that, Brad Stuver, you know, picked up some sort of a little bit of a clue off the run-up from Chicharito because, I mean, it was as though he was a mind reader. Fantastic save from Brad Stuber. Austin FC was in a mid-block a lot in the first half, maybe a little bit higher than that. And Romagna, as we know, is going to be the yin to the yang of Matt Beisler. He's going to be the athleticism that supports the veteran and the leader in Matt Beisler. So 35th minute, the goal. And it comes from Sebastian Legette. And the back four is poorly aligned. This was a lapse in concentration. But the back four, between the back four and the passer of the ball, and I can't even remember who knocked it in behind, it's only like 35 yards. There's absolutely no pressure on the ball. You can't have that high of a line without pressure, without marrying it to pressure on the ball, and there wasn't. Lines were a little bit messy. It's only about 35 yards between the back four. Jimenez is a little deeper than the other three defenders. But there was no pressure on the delivery. I mean, you can't let a guy pick his head up. Approaching the halfway line where your team is pushed up towards the halfway line and not get pressure on the ball. So it was a momentary lapse, and it was mental and paid for it. That ultimately would be the game-winning goal. That was in the 35th minute, Legette. And then Chicharito would get one in the 77th. Now, Chicharito's goal comes off a build-up and down the right side across to the near post. It's possible that cross could have been cut out and that first post could have been sealed off. I think that's fair to say. But Chicharito's running and his movement now, it's light. Watching him in warm-ups, you know, going forward and turning and just spinning off and sprinting, you could just tell this guy's motivated. And he's quick. He's quick again. He's not an easy guy to play with, especially now on a team under Greg Vanney that is playing to his strengths, which I don't think it was under Guillermo Barrascalotto. I just don't think it had a wide game then for Chicharito that was good enough. All right, so let's do a couple of takes here on players, and then we'll talk a little bit of Nashville as well, the next opponent. Again, call in 512-447-3776 if you're interested. 512-447-3776. Soccer Matters here on the Horn, always brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. And Santa Clara and Florida State remain tied here in the second overtime. This one likely will go to penalties. By the way, Florida State has won their last two games on penalty kicks to advance to this final, and it's down in Cary, North Carolina. All right, so Brad Stuver, certainly very savvy on the penalty kick. At that point, he's keeping you in the game. Kolmanich, not his best game. We know how comfortable and cultured he is with his left foot. Didn't seem as comfortable on the ball. Gave it away in certain situations. Matt Beisler, solid, did get pulled a little bit by Chicharito. That led to that penalty. Could he done more on the near post? I don't know. Of course, he connects a lot of his passes, wasn't under pressure a lot of times, and does get a lot of the ball, which is, you know, part of his job as a leader back there and a good distributor, which he is. Romagna, I saw some people pointing to Romagna as the culprit on the first goal. No, it's an entire team. It's a lapse. Not buying that at all. Tomas Pochettino. Now, you're going to need him on the ball as much as possible. Pochettino and Cecilio Dominguez in Nashville are going to have to be, they're your designated players. They're the guys who have to change the game for you. They're the guys that have to make plays. They're the guys that on a day in Los Angeles when maybe it's not your best game, that they're going to make plays to help you earn a point or potentially win a game on the road, right? You need them. You're going to need Brad Stuver to earn you points this year. If he's the number one throughout the year, he's got to win a game or two for you. And he's had some good games early on in this. But Pochettino's cultured. He's elegant on the ball. They got to keep getting more out of him. Danny Pereira, 88% possession. Played in two different positions in this game. He's exciting. I got to tell you, he's somebody that a big ceiling. And I don't think he's a surprise. But coming out of the college game, he doesn't count a lot against your salary cap. And he's somebody that I think is a kind of binder for this team for the next couple of years. Diego Fagundes needed more from him, I think, in the absence of Alexander Ring. Cecilio Dominguez did get good moments on the ball. Didn't do enough with it, I think. But again, he's a guy that has to bring the ideas. He was moved into the center forward position. You need them on the road. And you need them at home, but you need them on the road right now. You need Dominguez and Pochettino against Nashville this weekend. Danny Huson did not get much of the ball, which tells me Austin FC at times had a hard time playing into him as well. Jarrett Stroud, as I mentioned, I thought was a little bit indecisive. Subs, Rodney Redis, I didn't think brought a whole lot. Berhalter for Fagundes, then pushed Pereira higher. Competent player. Kakuta Mane probably was the one who brought the most energy and was trying to bring him back in the game. He had four shots, and then Aiden Stanley made his debut. So interesting kind of stuff there from watching Austin FC. But it wasn't one of the best games, and they're not all going to be the best games. You do have to find a way to win games that aren't your best. Here's some thoughts here from the head coach, Josh Wolf.
Yeah, it was an unusual first half. Again, I think there were moments where we had decent control. We weren't creating really any dangerous chances. So that's the frustrating part. I think my takeaway was the energy levels were down. We just weren't moving in our typical manner, in and around the penalty box, getting behind the line, besides Jared, who had a few moments where he got behind on the right side. But the tempo, the pace of the ball, our positioning could be better. And obviously having a little bit more positioning in and around the penalty box to either get behind the line, play through them, and create some chances in a variety of ways. But the second half, that picked up. Thus, we were able to get some decent crosses, get into good positions, and probably a little unlucky not coming away with the goal at some point. But yeah, I think the energy level was off. The running was off. Our dynamic wasn't its normal self. And, we'll have to look into that.
That was Josh Wolf talking about tempo, runs, chances, second half being better. The energy level was off. And, look, it's a high-tempo team. I like what Josh Wolf is doing. I like the fact that you're going for it on the road. I don't buy playing for draws. I don't buy playing for ties. A bunch of ties doesn't get you much. Win two games and it's 6 points on the road. You got six. If you get 9-12 by the time you're going back in 33 days to Q2 Stadium, you're in a great place. I don't think there's any question. It's not going to get easy. You're going to have to break a deeper defending Nashville down this weekend. And, Gary Smith teams are built on defending. You're going to have to break them down. And that's where Pochettino and Cecilio Dominguez, individuals, have to help in that. But they are kings of the draws. They have had four of them. Players like Walker Zimmerman, the center back, Hani Mukhtar, may be coming back for them, but you're going to have to break them down, and you got to get the first goal against Nashville, in my opinion. Have to. And you got to pick those moments to press, and you got to be good in transition because you don't want to get hit on a counterattack and give the first goal up against Nashville on Sunday. 33 days away from Q2 Stadium's opening against the San Jose Earthquakes. You got to love it. All right, Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas, brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, John Daspit. DaspitLawAustin.com has you covered. 512-865-6710. 512-865-6710. DaspitLawAustin.com. Austin Bold, Marcelo Serrano, coming up next.
Curled in right, 49 and third! Would you believe it? Alisson, the goalkeeper, has saved Liverpool's season and their hopes of finishing in the top four. When you think you've seen it all in the Premier League, Alisson scores a winning goal. Absolutely extraordinary.
Just have to listen a little bit to that Johnny Winter and that goal call, Arlo White, on the great Alisson header. And, of course, Alisson from Brazil, and our next guest also from Brazil, and I'm sure that goal put a smile on his face. Marcelo Serrano of the Austin Bowl, head coach, joining us now. Marcelo, thank you very much for coming on the show, courtesy of John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com. How are you, Marcelo?
I'm good, my friend. How are you? Thanks for the music.
Well, yeah. I wanted to play the Alisson goal call for you because that was a real dramatic moment. What a guy of passion, too, in goal for Liverpool.
Oh, my goodness. And not an easy moment to see Liverpool goalkeeper scoring a goal. So
remarkable moment, and this is why we love the game. All right, so before we get into talking about the game in New Mexico. By the way, big crowd for your game there against New Mexico United, close to 9,000 people. The environment looked incredible. But this was I'm trying to figure out why the scheduling, this is only your first game of the year, and other teams are completing their third. How did that all work out?
Yeah, I believe this year is because all of the COVID consequences, the league was a little bit more open to decide about the games. Of course, it is a mixture of business of the league, and the scheduling should be announced on January, and we did not know all of the what the CDC guidelines will be. In our state over here, we are inside of the Formula One track, so we had so many variables to decide, and it's just we could not start early some games in our stadium, and then that's why we got a little bit behind the schedule. But it is just about the COVID guidelines. Like, we got to do what we got to do, and we just got to grind.
Yeah, and I want people to know kind of some of the struggles you guys had. You guys had to take a 10-hour bus ride. Talk a little bit about that on this road trip. It didn't exactly start off the way maybe you would have liked.
Yeah. I think we can control what we can control, but we had an issue with two of our flights got canceled, and then it was a 12-hour bus trip. But again, what we can do, it's not what we expected in our first trip, but it happens, and thanks we have players that are understandable, they understand the situations, and it was not easy, but at least it was easy to accommodate the trip.
Talking to the head coach of Austin Bowl, they lost and went down 3-1 to New Mexico United. Got a goal from Nick Hines in the 46th minute. At that point, thought they may be pulling off the comeback. All right, so how about some of the positives out of this game for you, Marcelo?
Yeah, it's, you know, when everything, when we lose doesn't mean everything is wrong, and when you win doesn't mean everything is right. I have this mantra with me. I think New Mexico had an advantage of having the third game. I think their team was clicking in the second game against El Paso. El Paso tied them in the 95th minute at home. So I saw that already in the second game, New Mexico looked way better. But the good thing is we played New Mexico head-to-head. You know, we had two opportunities before they scored one on us. And we did a sub with Nick Hines, as you mentioned, coming from the bench in the second half, and he scored the goal in 30 seconds. And we had three chances before their second goal. So it was some good things, and things should be fixed. I believe the team suffered a little bit mentally when the two goals happened. Especially the second goal, if you see it, it was a mistake about a goalkeeper that usually don't happen. And I knew this game was going to be decided on details. And unfortunately, we were not ready mentally, maybe, for some of these 1v1 or decision-making details. That's normal, the first game of the season. But New Mexico has a huge a fan base, has a huge... has a huge potential to be an MLS market. It was nice to go over there, play head-to-head, just our first game. We could have left with the victory, but again, on little details, just because it's off-season, we could not make it. Now it pushes a little bit more pressure for the next game, but I need to be patient. I need to be patient. It's the beginning of the season, and I just need to keep progressing the team as I know we have a good team.
He's Marcelo Serrano. He is the head coach of Austin Bold. That was at Isotopes Park, and that was the first time in over 500 days they had a home game. That crowd in that environment, 9,000 people, it, unbelievable there. Just looked fantastic, by the way, for players to play in. A wonderful backdrop. But, you know, you said it. I mean, it's your first game of the USL season. You can expect, right, as a head coach at this point, everything to be working perfectly, nor would you want it to be working perfectly, right?
Exactly. What was odd, they scored the first goal in a cross, and we had 7 crosses opportunity before they score. So the first 80 minutes, 70 minutes before the goal, we were controlling the game. We had 7 crosses opportunities. Two of those crosses was us against the goalkeeper, and we did not finalize. But again, it's just the beginning of the season. Maybe if we were a little bit sharp in the cross, maybe if we were a little bit sharp on the finishing, we'll be talking over here with a different result. And I know the team is progressing, and playing New Mexico over there is not easy. New Mexico is an amazing USL team. They have amazing fan support. They have the financials. You always look good for them to hire the excellent players that they have. So I cannot complain. If it was mid of the season, then me and you were going to have a different conversation. But I cannot complain. I cannot do any blames. It's just we had great things. We lost on individual capacities, not just our goals, but we lost a lot of opportunities. Hopefully, we can fix what needs to be fixed and move this team already for Friday against Monarchs in Utah.
Yeah, Real Monarchs, you go to Utah. It's a quick turnaround for you on Friday. Going from this game, this past weekend, to Friday, what's two of the biggest things that you want to see improve? Obviously, you know, outside of eliminating mistakes.
As a group, I want to see when our three lines of defense, we are compact, New Mexico could not break us, and that's where we have our chances. So we just start creating chances to them when our lines were a little bit not compact. And that happens not a lot in the game because just one of the goals was the reason because the lines were not compact. The other goals was just a punt from a center back and individual mistakes that we did. So that's what I want to see better against Monarchs. The players just being compact in the three lines of defense. And then when we have the ball, just playing our game. So as a group, that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm going to be starting training tomorrow.
How important is it for the likes of J.J. Johnson and Ugo Akoli, you know, to kind of press and make it difficult for opponents?
No, I believe the game is so evolved. If the forwards, they don't pressure the ball carry, just make it easy to those defenders, to that nowadays defenders can play as well as ball in the feet. Nowadays, the defense starts with the forwards and the attacking starts with the goalkeeper center back. The game has evolved and changed a lot. It is important for the forwards to press the ball carrier. And we work here at Bold on this, and we just need to get the game fitness in order to press more.
Marcelo, how much has your, you know, outlook on the game? I mean, the game has changed so much. And if you're, you know, as a coach, if you're not willing to embrace the change and watch the changing of the game, and now we're seeing teams very athletic, very pressing. They are not sitting and lying in wait. Many teams now playing for the counterattack. There still are a few, but they're kind of like dinosaurs now. How much work have you had to do in order to keep up with the way the game is changing, and how do you do that as a coach?
And the game evolves a lot. You need to be studying what other people are doing, and just smart coaches, assistant coaches, coaching staff are creating new ways. And when teams start doing a good job, you need to find ways to break them. And that's why the game evolves. Usually the game evolves at USL. The game always evolves where the money is, because you can have the better players, you can have, like, you can hire whoever you want. So it starts from the Premier Leagues, And in America, we have a lot of influence from England from the past years. So that's how you need to keep up, you know, study MLS games, how the outside world interferes in MLS, because it will definitely interfere in USL as well. So you cannot stop studying. The game's evolving tremendously year by year. And for example, before the fullbacks just work in an overlap mode. Now you can use the fullbacks as a holding midfielders, as a center backs, as an attacker. So the game is evolving a lot, and new ideas are here, and you just need to see how to break the opponent's ideas and what new ideas work for your team and for your players.
Marcelo, thank you very much for coming on. By the way, the Bold and Marcelo back on the road Friday. They take on Real Monarchs. You can catch that game at 8 p.m. on ESPN+. Then they come back to Bold Stadium on May 26th to take on the Monarchs again. So, Marcelo, thank you very much for coming on, and best of luck this Friday
night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, Marcelo. We like having Marcelo on. Show's brought to you by John Daspit of Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. By the way, Santa Clara on penalty kicks after pushing the game into overtime have won the national championship on the women's side. Indiana will take on Marshall now. We'll come back with some international soccer talk as well. And get what I'm doing here with Jimi Hendrix, right? Right? You get what I'm doing here with Jimi Hendrix. All right. It's Soccer Matters here on the Horn. DaspitLawAustin.com presents. So confident he flashes trophies of war and ribbons of euphoria.
Curled in right, 49.
All right, final segment of the show tonight here on the Horn as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. Daspit Law Firm is headed up by John Daspit. His firm is comprised of personal injury attorneys. John and his firm are going to handle your case. We know accidents happen, and when they do, you need the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. Call them at 512-865-6710. They'll handle your car accident, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You might work construction. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. And they are bilingual. And a big thank you to John and his firm for being the presenting sponsors of the show. And John will have a firm eye on Chelsea and Leicester City tomorrow, as he's a Chelsea fan and an Austin FC fan as well. And I would be pretty confident in saying he's likely going to be at that home opener against San Jose. So thanks to DaspitLawAustin.com for getting us on the radio and letting us talk about the teams in Austin and the sport of soccer globally as well. And we will have a global segment right now. Now, 33 days away, if my math is correct, is the opener against the San Jose Earthquakes. I'm going to make a prediction that there will be a lot of goals that night with San Jose and Matias Almeida in town in that open pressing man-for-man marking system that can be dragged around. And then you combine that with the Josh Wolf mentality of attacking soccer, and you heard me talk about that in the first segment, and the excitement, the energy, the adrenalized athlete that night, you're going to see a lot of goals. 3 days before that opener, the test run is going to be the U.S. Women's National Team against Nigeria. And I'm sure some of you will be at both of these matches. Q2 is also going to host a Gold Cup semifinal on July 29th. And I'm hearing through the grapevine more matches, which is pretty obvious, but I'm hearing some of them will be coming through Austin's pipeline at Q2 Stadium in the near future with a number of rumored events there. I'm sure at some point you may also see a UT women's team game in Q2. You know, why not? Fill it up with Longhorn fans and fans of women's college soccer as well. So let's switch gears. Our focus now goes to international soccer, Nations League, Gold Cup, Olympics, Euros. So much more going on this summer. It's going to be a cornucopia for football fans. There may not be enough hours in the day for all of us to watch all that we want to watch. And then you have World Cup qualifiers in the fall as well. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Premier League. It's been won by Manchester City. Manchester United safe. City awaits Chelsea now in the Champions League final. But all eyes now are on Leicester City, Chelsea tomorrow. And, of course, Liverpool. Two games to go for each team. These three teams, two of them, will end up getting a Champions League place. And we all know how lucrative and how much money this means. Multi-millions of dollars ending up third or fourth. So we're going to figure that out. Tomorrow, you got Chelsea and Leicester City. And I think Wednesday, it's Liverpool at Burnley. And then on the weekend, it's Chelsea at Aston Villa, Leicester City at Spurs, and Liverpool against Crystal Palace. What we do know is getting relegated, Fulham, West Brom, and this one really hurts for me, the Blades of Sheffield United after their dramatic season last year. They're all going down. So huge skin in the game, huge dollars lost. Inter Milan won the Scudetto. Congratulations to them. It's about time we had somebody other than Juventus win it. Bayern Munich has won the Bundesliga again. Now, Bayern winning the Bundesliga is pretty commonplace. But one thing we have to focus on there is Robert Lewandowski. And Robert Lewandowski scored his 40th in a season. He's tied with Gerd Müller, who was nicknamed Der Bomber. So he can break that record this weekend against Augsburg. What I love about Lewandowski, he's very humble. Probably should have collected the Player of the Year award in Europe. Probably didn't because of the pandemic. Just a very, very humble attacking striker, a fantastic goal scorer, and fantastic in the Bayern Munich setup. On to La Liga. Now, the drama continued this past weekend. Atletico Madrid got a late goal from Luis Suarez, which, if that doesn't occur, Real Madrid's in the driver's seat. So Atletico Madrid now on 83 points, Real Madrid on 81. So final match day 38 gives us Atletico Madrid at Real Valladolid. Tricky game. Valladolid 19th, but they're fighting off relegation. Real Madrid, home to Villarreal, who's in 7th place. All these games in La Liga will kick off at the same time at 11 a.m. Central Time, and La Liga's rights will go to ESPN now in the future. I will say, though, that taking on a relegation, you know, fighting machine team, if that's in fact what Real Valladolid will be on Saturday, could be dangerous for Atletico Madrid. The final match day in the French League One, or the French League One. PSG and Brest, and Lille and Angers. Now, Lille is on 80 points. PSG is on 79 points. If Lille were to lose, PSG draws. The tiebreaker will go to PSG with the better goal differential. In Spain, the goal differential edge, if in fact Atletico and Real Madrid in some shape or form drew on equal on points, but I don't think that, no, that's not possible. Can't happen. But if it was, Real Madrid would go ahead with a win and a draw against Atletico Madrid. So those are the tiebreakers in those two countries, but we've got a lot of drama this week, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And all the French League One games are at 2 o'clock Central Time. Did you see Alisson and his remarkable game-winning goal for Liverpool, which keeps them alive, by the way, battling for third or fourth and a Champions League place in the Premier League? This was drama at its best. Alisson, comes forward in stoppage time, gets in and around the near post. He really doesn't get marked. And that doesn't take away anything from the header. Ball's driven in, turns his body, contorts it, angles it into the far side netting. Completely unmarked. And many will say that, you know, goalkeepers rarely score. And you are right. But he did. And this puts them in the position now, going into these final two games, to potentially get a Champions League spot. Now, bringing forward a goalkeeper in matches, bring me more of it. I absolutely love it. I wish it would happen more. It is an exciting moment in football. And first and foremost, the reason you do it is to create chaos. It's not necessarily that that goalkeeper is going to score a goal. It's to just create chaos, bring a crowd into it, bring market confusion, marking confusion as well. And in this case, nobody picks up Alisson. So you might just say bringing him forward tested the mentality of an opponent in West Brom. They don't pick him up. And of course, he's probably not working daily on heading and training. But as you know Alisson, you know him as a footballer. You know him as a guy that can play with his feet outside the box. So why wouldn't he be able to head a ball? He's come off his line many times to head away in a covering position outside his 18-yard box. So this was fantastic stuff. This was exciting. What made it even more incredible and more human was Alisson, you know, after the game being interviewed, talking about the loss of his father. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that, you know, so many around the Premier League and teammates reached out to him. Carlo Ancelotti, the coach of Everton, reached out to him. Just incredibly fantastic and real human stuff. This guy, you know, was in real tears. And you could tell it totally genuine. It's a spectacular moment. Couldn't happen to a better guy. And it allows Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool to continue the fight. Speaking of Liverpool, their right back, Trent Alexander-Arnold, to me has been the best right back in the Premier League for the last couple of years. This is a hot topic now for England into the Euros with Gareth Southgate and his inclusion in the England squad. How do you not take Trent Alexander-Arnold if you're Gareth Southgate? Yeah, I get Kyle Walker, Manchester City. I get Kieran Trippier, Atletico Madrid. I get Reece James at Chelsea. The man for the job is Trent Alexander-Arnold. This guy clearly goes forward better than any of the aforementioned. He is a playmaker from the right back position. No one is better at playmaking from the right back position. He's a crossing machine. He's got 5 assists this year. He's recorded 38 chances created, which is ranked 13th in the Premier League for those that like data. For those that watch Liverpool consistently, you don't need the data to know what an attacking force this guy can be. From a right back position. Again, from a right back position. I think he had a ridiculous, the year they won the title, Liverpool, he had 13 assists. So I don't get it. England and Southgate need this player. I just don't quite understand sometimes how somebody like this can be avoided. Just such a vital piece. So that's going to do it tonight for Soccer Matters here in Austin, Texas on the Horn. Big thank you for everybody who tuned in tonight here. And a reminder, you get the podcast of this show at hornfm.com. Please support our sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. You can call them at 512-865-6710, 512-865-6710. That is where you get in contact with DaspitLawAustin.com. And they are bilingual, by the way, and they are getting soccer on the airwaves, and that's why I talk about them a lot, because they are our presenting sponsors. And to make this all work, support the sponsors of Austin FC, support the sponsors of Austin Bolt, support the sponsors of Soccer Matters to make it happen. And this is how we can grow the game together in a very, very positive way. All right, like I said, podcast at hornfm.com. Big thank you to producer John Reichel, as always. I want to do also remind you about the show in Houston. It's every Tuesday night. I'll be taking tomorrow night off, some family business to take care of. But the following week, we'll have two shows in Houston, and we'll be back on the air next Monday in Austin to recap that Nashville game as well. In Houston, it's ESPN975.com and 92.5, again presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Those podcasts you can find at ESPN975.com. So on behalf of the firm and all of you listening in here tonight, keep enjoying the rise of Austin FC and professional soccer in the great city of Austin. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone. Gentlemen, I know that some mistake.